This is HPR episode 2679 entitled Extra Ancillary Bash Tips 13 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 37 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Making Decisions in Bash, Part 5.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm doing a show about Bash. This is the 13th episode in the Bash Tips sub-series, and it's the fifth of a group of shows that I'm doing about making decisions in Bash. This is the last one in that group. If you've joined me here, I would recommend going back to check out the previous four episodes, which are all listed in the link section of the notes. And there are two sorts of notes here, by the way. There's the short notes, which is just a preamble, and then a link to the long notes, which is quite detailed, so that you can read independently or read as you listen. Reading as you listen might be the best, but depends where you are and what you're doing. So in the last four episodes we saw types of tests that Bash provides and some of the commands that use these tests. We looked at conditional expressions and all of the operators that Bash provides to do these things, making decisions, and we concentrated particularly on string comparisons, which use glob and extended glob patterns. And in the last episode we devoted it to looking at Bash's regular expressions. And now we want to look at the final topic within regular expressions, which is capture groups. Now, if you follow this series on SED that I did some time ago, or indeed the one that's covering the AUK language that I'm doing in conjunction with BeEasy, then we've talked about regular expression and capture groups there. So this won't be a particular surprise to you. It's a way in which you can group the elements of a regular expression using parentheses, and you can thereby denote a component of the string that you're comparing with the regular expression. So, for example, you might want to look for three-word sentences. So there's an example in the long notes that shows this. There are three groups, and they each consist of, in parentheses, a character class, one of these things where you put in square brackets a list of characters, which you can also refer to as ranges. So it uses lowercase a to lowercase z as a range and uppercase a to uppercase z. Then after the closed square bracket there's a plus sign, which means one or more alphabetic characters. So that's all in parentheses. Then each of the words so defined are followed by a space and a plus sign, which means one or more spaces. Not each of them, but the first and the second. The third case is followed by zero or more spaces and an optional full stop. So your sentence might end with a full stop. You might put spaces before the full stop, which would be wrong, but you might do that. The entire regular expression with these three groups in it is anchored to the start of the string. So the way this thing is written, only the words themselves are being captured by being in groups, not the intervening spaces or the full stop at the end or anything. So we're going to look at a script that uses this regular expression soon. Now, Bash uses an internal read-only array called, in capitals, bash_rematch, and that holds what is matched by a regular expression. The zeroth element of this array holds what the entire regular expression is matched. and the rest hold what was matched by any capture groups in the regular expression. And just like other regular expression systems, each capture group is numbered in order of occurrence. So element one of bash rematch contains the first element and first word, or first match is perhaps a better way of putting it. Element two contains the second, and so forth. Now in sed, it's possible to refer to a capture group within a sequence. You can do that with backslash one. So, and that allows you to write a regular expression that repeats stuff. So for example, in the sed syntax, where the parentheses have got to be preceded by a backslash, then backslash open parentheses cat, backslash close parentheses, then backslash one, which is the capture group, means that you want the word cat to be repeated. So I've shown a little example here where we echo the word or the sequence cat, cat into sed. And the expression is to replace, or the sed script, I think would be a better way of putting it, replaces using the S command the word cat, which is in a capture group, followed by the same thing again, which is referred to as the backslash one, replace that with the word match. So that case, in that particular case, it would come back with the word match. So because it matches, surprise, surprise. So the reason I'm mentioning this is because it's apparently not available in bash. At least there's nothing documented that I can find in any of the official bash scripting documentation, the GNU bash manual and so forth. There are references to a partial implementation that some people have, I don't know, discovered. Maybe they've looked at the source or something, or maybe this is a known thing that's in development, but it doesn't seem to be a thing to rely on. But I've still spent a little time doing an example two, later on in this episode, to experiment with it. So here comes an example of a script that uses the three word thing and looks at the bash rematch array. And it's a downloadable example that you can grab and play with if you want to. It's called bash13_ex1.sh. So the regular expression in here is stored in a variable called re, and it's the same expression that we already looked at. The script checks to see that there's an argument, because that's the way you're going to give it a sentence when you run it. The script prints out, echoes the sentence preceded by the word sentence, so you know what just confirms what you typed is what the script is seeing. Then it compares in an extended test $1, which is that argument, with the regular expression in the variable re, and if it matches, then you get the message matched. Then there's a for loop which iterates a variable I through the value 0 through to 3 using a brace expansion, and for each iteration it uses printf to print out the number in I, and then the contents of bash rematch indexed by that number. So running it with the sentence aardvarks eat ants full stop in quotes, because otherwise bash would split them up into three arguments, then it reports back the sentence was aardvarks eat ants, which they do, it's an anteater, not the only thing they eat, and then it reports matched, and then it goes through the zeroth element, which is the entire string aardvarks eat ants. One is aardvarks, two is eat, and three is ants without the full stop. So those are the three capture groups. Now, this, if you've listened to the previous episodes talking about this sort of stuff, well, the last episode, in fact, then you might expect that you could put the capture group for a word, which is that square bracketed expression, in parentheses, and then follow that with a space and an asterisk, meaning zero or more spaces, and put that all in parentheses, and follow it with a number in curly brackets. So if you put a 3 there, it's written in the notes, / full stop question mark, then you might expect that, first of all, that would match aardvarks eat ants. Well, it does. But there's only, well, there's two capture groups here, in fact. There's the inner one, which is for a word, and the outer one, which is the thing that's just used to hold it all together and repeat it. But you don't get the three elements of the sentence. You would get in element 0, aardvarks eat ants. Then you'd get element 1, which contain ants. That's from the first capture group, which is the outer one. And then 2 will also contain ants, because it's the result of the three iterations, I guess, the last word in the sentence. So it's not useful if you want to capture the words. So bear that in mind. It's a useful thing to be able to do when you just want to shorten a complex regular expression, but it doesn't let you pick out the bits that capture groups will let you do. It's probably why you use them in the first place. So the rest of this show is just a bunch of examples. And example 1 is a revisiting example 4 from the last episode, where I'd written a script which takes an IP address, a type 4 IP address, IP version 4, and it checks it for validity. But I've made it a little more clever, and I've also used capture groups to do it. This one is downloadable, and it's called bash13_ex2.sh. So in the previous example, we had four groups of up to 3 digits, and the numbers that they form have got to be in the range 0 to 255, and they're separated by dots. So the regular expression that we have does this, just as the previous one did, although in the previous one we used a repeat count in curly brackets for each of the expressions. So this time we're spelling them out, we're putting them one after the other, but we're putting them in parentheses, and we're anchoring the whole thing at the front and the end of the string. So the script checks to see that there is an argument, which is going to be the IP address, and produces an error message if it's been forgotten, and then it compares the argument $1 against the regular expression. So that's pretty much what we did last time, but in this particular case we're going to be a little bit more detailed about it. So inside the if statement, then we have a variable ERRS, which is short for errors, being set to 0, and another one called problems being set to nothing. So it's just problems equals. That just sets a variable to a null string. Then there's a for loop that iterates through the values 1 to 4. That's for the four groups of numbers, and it uses the variable I to do that. Then we set a variable D to the result of the bash rematch array indexed by the variable I. Then there's an if statement that says if D, $D, is less than 0, or $D is greater than 255, then, and that's obviously checking to see whether it's in the range 0 to 255. And we're using here it's not a regular expression at all, of course. We're using an extended test, and the OR is the two vertical bar. So if that turns out to be true, then we increment the variable ERRS. I always tend to type this name, but I've never had to pronounce it. Errs. Anyway, we increment it, because that's counting the number of errors. And we also add to the problems variable, which is a string, we add the value of the $D variable. That's a number, but it's going to be treated as a string, and we follow that with a space. So what we're going to end up with, if there's multiple errors, we're going to end up with a bunch of numbers separated by spaces. So after that loop has gone through it 4 times, there's either going to be no errors, or there's going to be 1 to 4 errors and 1 to 4 numbers in the problems string. Then there's another if which checks to see if ERRS is greater than 0. And if it is, then we want to say there were problems and it's not a valid IP address and here are the problems. So the way I've done that, there are many ways you could do this, but the way I chose was using the variable problems, I set it to itself using the parameter expansion capability where you can extract a piece out of a string. So I extract problems colon zero, starting at position zero, it's all zero relative, colon minus one. That's in curly brackets with a dollar on the front. What that means is from position zero, the start of the string, up to, but not including the last character. And that's because we were adding a number and a space to it each time we found a problem. We just want to take that space off, and that's what it's doing. Then we echo the error report, $1 is not a valid IP address, semicolon, contains, and then we want to report the problems string, but I've got fancy with it and I've put that in curly brackets with a dollar on the front, and inside there's another parameter substitution expression. It's using double slashes space and then a single slash comma space. So what that does is to go and find every space in this variable and replace it by comma space. So you'll get back a list with commas in between. That's basically it, comma and a space. And then it exits if there were errors, exits with a value of one. If there were no errors, then this branch of the if, which validated against the regular expression, will return that the address is valid. If the regular expression didn't match at all, then it will say that it's not a valid IP address. So I've drilled down in the notes after this into the regular expression a little bit more, and just I think I've already said what this says, so no point in going over it. Yes, I've explained this already without reading it out to you, so hopefully you'll find both what I've just said and also the notes help you to understand it if you're having difficulties. And there's a bunch of examples running it with different IP addresses that are invalid. So 192.168.0 with dots in between and a trailing dot is not valid because there's only three numbers in. 192.168.0.5 is perfectly valid. Those had dots in between as well. And the last one is 192.168.500.256. Well, 500 and 256 are out of range, so it says it's not valid and it contains 500, 256. You might type that in error because you're a terrible typist like I am. The point is that we've got regular expressions here to do these sorts of checks and a few other bells and whistles to make it fancier. So example two is the one where I played around with the ideas of back references. And as I said, I couldn't find any official documentation about them. But there does seem to be something available, and it's in, well, at least in the version that I'm using. I haven't tested any others. I could have done, I guess, on some of the Raspberry Pis I have, which will have various versions. But a back reference consists of a backslash and a number. The number refers to the capture group starting, counting from the left of the regular expression. But it looks as if you can only have a single digit after the backslash. So it means you can only refer to capture groups 1 to 9. If you've got 10 or more, then there's no way of referring to them with backslash number. Some regular expression systems allow you to follow the backslash with curly brackets and a multi-digit number. Can't remember if SED does, but there are Perl is the one I know most, but anything which is derived from the Perl regular expressions, which is a thing called PCRE, Perl compatible regular expressions, will have that capability. I think Python uses PCRE, so does PHP, a number of other languages do. So what I've done to mess around with this one is I've created a regular expression which consists of, in parentheses, a thing that one of those regular expression meta characters, which is a backslash and a less than, which means start of word, then a full stop followed by in curly brackets 1, 10. So that means 1 to 10 characters, any characters. We follow that with the backslash greater than, meaning end of word, close the parentheses. So that's a word of up to or between 1 and 10 characters. Then a space and backslash 1. So that's my regular expression. So then I compare the, and this is a very simple script, just not really a production thing, just a messing around thing. I compare $1 in the assumption that there's an argument with that regular expression as in the usual way. Then if it matched, then put out the message matched. Otherwise, put out the message no match. So my simple example is running this script, which you can download again, bash13_ex3.sh. You can run that, and I gave it a two-word string in single quotes of turnip, turnip. And so it's less than 10 characters long, and there's two instances of it. And the script says it matched. So it's actually working, but I don't think I would recommend using it. It's maybe something to keep an eye on, and it's maybe something that's going to be available in an upcoming version of Bash. So that would be good. I mean, it's a really useful feature to have, but it's not officially there yet. So my last example is quite a complex one, and in this one I'm trying to parse a file of email addresses, the sort of things that you might have put together from an address book or something. The format of email addresses is quite complicated, and there is an RFC, several RFCs that define it. It gets a lot more complicated than you would imagine it would, because email goes way back in time. Nobody uses a lot of the features of it now, of the email address, I mean. But the script doesn't try to be fully comprehensive about this. It's not the best way to validate email addresses, to write a bash script to do it. There are libraries that will do it in various languages. So, but this is hopefully a useful example to mess around with. So the two formats that the script is catering for is where an address consists of the so-called local part, followed by an at sign, followed by a domain. So my example is something like vim@vim.org. So that's probably the simplest format email address that you can have. But there's another one that you'll often see, which consists of a name, where the name, I think, there must be some restrictions on what characters it can contain, but let's say it's letters and numbers, possibly parentheses, and that's followed by a local part at domain address, but it's in a less than, greater than sort of diamond brackets, as I think they used to be called. So an example of that would be the thing you might see when you look at email from the HPR mailing list. It's often titled HPR space list space less than sign HPR at hackerpublicradio.org, and then the greater than sign. So those are the two generic formats that we're going to be playing with. So there's two files here. There's bash13ex4.sh, which is the downloadable script, but it's reading data from a file, which is bash13_ex4.txt, which you can also grab and mess around with if you want. So this, let's talk about this script. It's not hugely long, but it's fairly complex. It's going to take me a while to talk about. So the script contains a variable called data, which refers to the text file of addresses. I haven't put a path in there, assuming it's in the same directory as the script. You could get fancy with that if you wanted to. There's a check to see whether that file actually exists, and if it doesn't, then it's reported as missing and the script will exit with a false value. I won't go into details about how that's done. You can see it's similar to the things I've used before. Now, the regular expression is complex. It consists of two parts, two components, which I have written out as two individual variables, which are called part one and part two, and then I've concatenated them together inside a string and put them into a variable re. And the two parts are enclosed in parentheses in that final statement there, the third statement. And in front of the open parentheses is a circumflex, and after the closed parentheses is a dollar. So it's an anchored thing to the line of reading from the file. It's not really necessary to do that, but putting them in parentheses is definitely recommended. The two variables are being substituted in a double quoted string, and they're separated by a vertical bar. So we have a regular expression which has two alternative parts. If we look at the expressions themselves, we look at part one. That's the one to match the simpler form of the email address. And it just consists of, in square brackets, lowercase a to z, uppercase a to z, 0 to 9, and underscore. That's the first character. That's because there are some restrictions on how an email address can start. It can't begin with a dot, for example. It can begin with a number, and it can begin with a letter. Indeed, it can begin with an underscore. Then after that, we've got more or less the same thing, except that inside the square brackets, there's a dot as well, and that's followed by a plus after the close square bracket. So that means any of those characters one or more times. That's followed by an at sign, and then the square bracketed list follows, and it includes, instead of an underscore, it includes a hyphen. And that hyphen has to be at the end, because the hyphen can be used to separate ranges of things. So you have to put it at the end, so it doesn't look like it might be a range. I think you can put it as the first thing as well. In fact, I know you can. After the closed square bracket, we've got a plus. So that's the domain part, which can be any character, any letter or number, can be a dot. Has to be, you have to have a dot in between the components. You can have hyphens in the name. There's probably other things that could go in there. I didn't want to get too complex. Well, part two is pretty much the same, except that expression we just looked at is enclosed in a less than greater than, and prior to it there's another bracketed parenthesized expression which consists of open square bracket, circumflex, less than, close square bracket, plus, which means one too many not less than signs. So in other words, it's the characters from the start of the string to the less than sign that begins the address part can be anything as long as they're not less than signs. And so, I think I've mentioned this before, and it's a common thing that you see in regular expressions. So this is quite a complex regular expression. It could be simplified yet further, I think, or indeed you could do some clever things with string substitution in Bash, but I didn't want to get into that because it would just make life too complex for anybody reading it, I think. So the main script is a loop, and it's one of these while loops which on each iteration is reading a value from somewhere or other into a variable called line. And the way that's done is that the final line of the while loop, done line, is followed by a less than sign and the name of the data file in double quotes. So the loop will attach itself to that file, if you like, and by dint of using a read command, will, whenever read wants to read something, it will read from that file. Again, we've seen this before. It's a common trope in Bash scripts. Inside this loop, we first of all have an if statement, which is simply comparing the line with the regular expression. So if it matches, then we want to check things about the contents of Bash rematch. And here's where things get a little complicated. So let me just digress for a bit. My notes are maybe possibly a bit more comprehensive than what I've just talked about. I wasn't reading, I was doing that off the top of my head, really. Because we have capture groups within capture groups, and we've got two sets of them, and in one case one set will be triggered, and in another case another set will be triggered, we need to do some quite clever checking on what comes back to determine what type of address we've got. And the way that I worked this out was by using what you see commented out in the script just after the regular expression match. There's a statement, declare space hyphen P space bash rematch, without any dollars or anything there, the name of the array. Declare is a command within bash that allows you to create various things, various variables, but amongst them there are, you can create arrays this way. When you use the hyphen P option, it means to print out its contents and its attributes. So we're asking that to print out the attributes and contents of bash rematch. It's commented out, so it's not actually being run at the moment, but what I did was I ran this script using that declare in order to see what bash rematch would hold. And a bit further down the page, it shows what is produced for two addresses, two of the different types of addresses. So the first one was the, and these are all dummy addresses, by the way, which I generated on a service. I found that we'll generate batches of dummy addresses for you. Few real ones I chucked in, but things like vim at vim.org and stuff like that. Anyway, this one is kawasaki@me.com, and when this is checked through the regular expression comparison, then bash rematch element 0, not surprisingly, gets the whole address. Element 1 also gets the whole address, and element 2 similarly. Elements 3 and 4 get nothing. Element 0 always gets the whole regular expression, but everything that the regular expression matches. Since we put brackets around the whole thing, parentheses around the whole thing, in order that we can contain the two alternatives, we get the same in element 1 as well of bash rematch. So it's also matching everything, because everything, all both of the two alternative regular expressions are inside this thing. So you can ignore element 0 and element 1. If the address matches the first sub-expression, it will get stored in bash rematch element 2. If it matches the second sub-expression, because there are the third and fourth capture groups exist in that sub-expression, then you'll see results in there. But in this particular case, there's nothing being matched, so they're empty. So the case where regular expression, the bash rematch element 2 contains something, then we have an email address of the first type. Then if a bit further down my notes, you'll see that it's matching with another address, which consists of S space mayor space, and then in less than greater than smail@yahoo.com. So ignoring element 0 and element 1, we find that element 2 of bash rematch is empty, because that's when it matches with the first case, the first sub-expression. But elements 3 and 4 have, first of all, the name portion, and secondly, the address portion of this email address. So the script uses the fact that element 2 of bash rematch is zero length in order to determine which type of address was matched. So if we go back to the actual script itself, you'll see there is an if that goes if and then an extended test, hyphen lowercase z, then bash rematch element 2. So if bash rematch element 2 is zero length, then we know that it's the type 2 mail address, which is the name and then the local part and domain inside so-called diamond brackets. So I've commented it. There's room for confusion here. In fact, as I was writing this, I got confused. This is why I added comments. So in that particular case, we put inside the variable name, we store bash rematch element 3. And in a variable email, we store bash rematch element 4. If it's not a 0, if it's not zero length bash rematch 2, then it's type 1 address, or just the simple local part at domain format. So we set name to nothing because there was no name portion there, and we set email to bash rematch 2, element 2. And then that's the end of that if that checks which version it is. We simply print out the contents of name and the contents of email. Of course, name is going to be blank in some cases, but that seemed to me to be reasonable. You could omit printing out name when there is no name, but I thought it was more useful to report that there was no name explicitly. Of course, the other branch of this if which was testing the regular expression, if it doesn't match at all, then we say not recognized and report the line that failed. There's an empty echo towards the end of the loop, which just causes a blank line to be produced between each iteration through the file. If we look further down the page of everything relating to this example, then I included an excerpt from what was produced when the script is run, and this is the one with the declare command commented out, as it will be if you download it. And its first email address that it finds is afeldspar@yahoo.ca, who has a name. That was the second type of mail address. So the name field is populated, the email field is populated. The second one is somebody called mcrawford@live.com. There was no name. The third instance is one where, for some reason or other, email address of .42, this is one I added because it's illegal, @unknown.mars. It's illegal because it begins with a full stop. So it says not recognized, it doesn't match anything. That's what it does. If you feel interested enough to investigate further, you can download all of that stuff and run it yourself and see what it does. Indeed, add some more and see how it behaves. You can also enhance the regular expression to make it more generic, but I'm not sure, as I say, that bash is the correct vehicle for this. But it makes the point about regular expressions and bash rematch and capture groups, etc., etc. So hopefully you found it interesting. Well, that's the end of that. That's the end of this group. And I hope you found this to be useful. There's some powerful features within Bash, as I'm sure you're well aware by now. So I hope this helped to reveal this particular set of features to you. Okay then, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.